wonder real quick, it seemed like the Lord wanted me to ask you this. If somebody's just got a quick word now, listen, I got the message, and I'm going to preach, so you don't have to preach. You don't have to straighten nobody out, but you might just have a word burning on your heart. You got to tell it. You got to get it out. Well, I just want to give you an opportunity right quick before we get into the message now. Anybody? Word of testimony? Did you enjoy lunch? Amen. Anybody glad to save tonight?
Amen.
It's good to be saved, isn't it? Well, I'm just glad I ain't going to hell, praise God. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Amen. That's right. Amen, brother. That's wonderful. He just told the truth. Amen. I didn't know a lot about that till I got saved. But when I got saved, I realized I had a constant companion. I told you. I thought I was just missing hell. I mean, I didn't want to go to hell. I knew I wanted to go to heaven, but I didn't know much about any of the rest of it. And I'm telling you the truth. I'm finding out that after all these years of being saved, it just gets better and better and better as time goes by. Now, is that right or am I wrong tonight? Anybody else real quick? You just want to brag on the Lord now. Go ahead, ma'am. Amen.
I've got one great God that nobody else can touch. Nobody else is as wise as him.
Amen.
What he is, nobody is as wonderful as he is. And I thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Somebody else? Anybody? Hey, I'm going to say it one more time. This is the quietest world you're ever going to live in. You say, I just don't know about all that emotionalism and all of that stuff like that. I'll tell you, go ahead, ma'am. Just go ahead and tell about it. Right. Amen. Praise God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I know this is not a camp meeting, but it ain't no cramp meeting either, praise God. Ain't good we can say that sort of thing, but it's just the truth. Praise God. Listen, we ought not to feel bound in the house of God. We got order, and Paul talks about how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of the Lord and all these things, conduct ourselves, and you don't have to worry. Listen. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to get out of bounds by the grace of God. But I can promise you this, the Spirit of God is not going to lead us out of bounds. And the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. You ought to take every opportunity to brag on Him, praise God. I mean, He's been so good to us. And He could have left us in that ditch we was in when He found us. And I'm thank God He didn't leave me over there in the beer joint. Amen. Are you listening to me now? I said, I'm glad He didn't leave me in the beer joint and over there in the crack house and all that other stuff. I mean, I'm glad He saved me, amen. And when He saved me, He saved me real good. And praise God, I'm glad what I have is real. And thank God. I didn't have to go back for no recap nor nothing else. What I'm telling you now, what He gave me is stuck. It's real, amen. All right, anybody else? Praise God. Anybody? All right. Well, I just want you to mind God now. John chapter 2 now. You say, well, you're not the pastor. You can't take over. Well, praise God. If I can't, I don't know what we're going to do then. We're going to be in bad shape. Brother Cranfield turned it over to me, so here we are. Praise the Lord. We just have to mind God now. And that's what we're trying to do. I don't want to be sensitive to Him. I don't want to be anywhere where I cannot just let the Lord do what He wants to do. Amen. I want to be where He's at. And I want to feel His liberty. I want to be able to have enough restraint that I won't say anything if He don't want me to. And I want to have enough boldness, enough God about me that anything that needs to be said, I won't be afraid to say it. Amen? You don't know if you like that or not, but that's all right, praise God. John chapter number 2. And I want you to stand with me tonight for just a few moments. I'm going to read a few verses with you. I feel like this is in order. And I feel like this is what the Lord wants tonight. John chapter number 2, look at verse number 1 with me. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, they have no wine. Now, that'd be a good place for you to underscore that because that's important. The Bible says they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. You know what you ought to do tonight? You ought to circle that, put stars beside of it, underline it about 3 times, highlight it, and make that your mantra. That's a fancy way of saying, make that your byline. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Are you willing to do what He says to do? Because there's no need for you to go any further until you get that thing right with God. That's the essence. That's the essence of your Christianity. Your walk is wrapped up in simply trusting and obeying. And until you get to that point, you're not going to go any further. Well, praise God. That went well. And there were 6, the Bible says, verse 6, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And He saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. You can be seated this evening. The Bible says, in verse number 3, that they wanted wine, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saith unto him, they have no wine. I know you know this if you've been around church any amount of time, but for those of you that do not know, maybe you're younger or you're newly saved and just being a part of Gospel Light Baptist Church. Maybe you don't know this, but in the Word of God, wine is symbolic many times of joy. And I that's what I want to preach about here just for a little while, if the Lord will be my helper, on this. On how to get the joy back in your life. The Bible here tells us specifically that they have no wine. Now Jesus here could have chosen many different places. He could have went to many different venues to do His first miracle. Many times at a marriage ceremony, we'll bring that out. We will remind people, if you have one of those little pastor's handbooks, that's one of the things that you'll find often in those ceremonies, is how that Jesus chose that joyous occasion to join 2 of these families together and these 2 individuals. And it is true that marriages many times could be, I have been known to make the mistake of saying funeral, but marriages many times are joyous occasions. If you've been married any amount of time, you may have an argument on the other side of that. But we'll not get into that tonight. Jesus here chooses this place to do this great miracle. These people here are joined together. They've come together. They are celebrating this great time. as well they should. But all of a sudden, the celebration comes to a stop. The festivities, there's no longer music being played. There's no longer happiness and laughter and smiles upon the wedding party and those that are around. Listen, all of a sudden, everything just comes to a screeching halt. Why? Because they don't have any wine. Wine was a very important part of that process. And it was something that they was expecting. They had been enjoying it. But now all of a sudden, it's gone. And may I say to you tonight, that is the way it is for many of you that are sitting in this room tonight. You say, how do you know? Praise God. Listen to me. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. What I'm trying to say to you tonight, that many of you have been saved by the grace of God for many years, but if we're not careful, we'll become so familiar with our surroundings, and we'll become so familiar with what is going on. And if we're not careful, the wear and tear of serving and becoming a little bit discouraged from time to time, and sometimes being disappointed by the things that happen in life. Listen, sometimes we're not careful. The joy of serving will leave us. It'll not be what it all that it was before. And may I say to you tonight, church, if there's ever been a day and an hour and a time that the church needs God's joy on it, buddy, it's right now. You say, why? Because every one of you would testify that we are living in darker days than we've ever lived. We're living in a time and a famine of the Word of God. It's prevalent. It seems like there's very little moving and stirring of God in the midst. Well, if that's the case, church, tonight, then praise God, we need to ask God to fill us with His joy, and let the joy fill the house of God. Then let the house of God ring out with the cries and the joy of what God has done for us. Amen. And I say to you tonight, I ask you this question as a precursor this evening. What is it that has caused you to have your wine to run out where you don't have the joy like you used to? Maybe we need to stop right now. Maybe we need to have a piano player come back. Maybe we need to go ahead and give the invitation right now and go ahead and do business with God. Why? Because I'm telling you something tonight. As much and as often as we as preachers, and I've been guilty, we'll stand and preach about the judgment of God, and we should. And we'll talk about how we're living in the last days and the last hours and the last moments before Jesus is coming and the darkest hour that mankind has ever seen, and how this darkest before the dawn. But I tell you, if we're not careful, we'll have a generation that's coming behind us believing that there's no reason to go to church. There's no reason to shout. There's no reason to preach. There's no reason to sing. I say to you, church, tonight, boy, wouldn't it be something if we just had a revival of not knowing everything that what's going to fall out unto us tomorrow and next week, but just make up our mind by the grace of God. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just going to be happy about being saved. Amen. I say to you, church, tonight, sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we get over it. We get so caught up in everything that's going on. We get so caught up in the busyness of life. And we realize that life is not a rat race. This salvation that He's given and provided for you and I mean, I've been saved 25 years. I've said that already many multiplied times. But I say to you, I've been saved by the grace of God. It ought not to be better or worse now than from the day that I got saved. Salvation, if you'll chronicle the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll find that as he told his story, of beginning in the book of Acts, from Acts chapter number 9, and follow him throughout the remainder of the epistles in 2 Timothy, you'll find that his story got larger and larger and better and better. Was he embellishing? Was he exaggerating? I said to you, no, he didn't know all that he knew after he got saved. But buddy, he got to walking with God, and God got to showing up big in his life, and his salvation experience wasn't getting smaller. It was not diminishing. It was getting better and better. It ought to be getting better if you're saved tonight. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I know what you're saying, but you know, praise God. No, ma'am, no. There's no excuse for not having joy. Hey, praise God. He's done more for you than you ever deserved. Amen. I'm telling you, I thank God tonight. I'm not getting what I deserve. I'm thankful this evening I'm getting the grace of God and all the blessings. Hey, amen. What one preacher said, all this in heaven too. Amen. We get to enjoy this thing of being saved. Amen. But the sad thing about it is in the average church, people are just seemingly enduring their salvation. But you ought to be enjoying it, sir. Why the long face? What you sad about? Praise God, like Dr. Sammy Allen used to say all the time. He'd say, man, don't get too excited now. I mean, you're just going to live forever. We sit around with the poochy lip. Praise God, it's a wonder we don't trip on our lip when we fall into the house of God. What in the world's going on with us? I'm telling you, these people right here, they had a reason. Their joy had run out because they didn't have any wine. Oh, my friend, wine in the Word of God is indicative of the Spirit of God. I say to you this evening, maybe it is, maybe it could be that we have omitted, maybe we have programmed the Holy Spirit out of our services, and it could it be tonight that we just need Him to come on the scene. One more time. You say, well, I just don't know about that. I'm a little bit afraid. That makes me a little nervous. I say to you, friend, if you get nervous around the Holy Ghost, you might need to get right with God. Amen. Well, I hadn't planned on saying none of that, and I don't take none of it back. Praise God. Everything's fine until the wine runs out. Jesus was the answer for the problem. Mary didn't know it all. She didn't know how to fix the problem. She didn't have a remedy. She didn't know how to press it out. Every time I think about these verses, I think about Lucy on I Love Lucy when she's in that vat jumping around on them grapes. Mary didn't know how to fix no more juice. She didn't know how to get no new wine, but she knew there was somebody on the scene that could fix the problem. You say, what are we going to do in gospel life? We got to get Jesus on the scene. Amen. I don't know how to do it. I can't go to enough Bible colleges and can't get enough degrees and enough doctorates out beside my name to fix the problem. But if King Jesus comes, He can turn it around. Amen. Praise God. That's right. I praise God about to have an old time conniption fit. Amen. Anybody know what that is? Y'all didn't know what a cuckleberry was either. Praise God. That's all right. Jesus is the answer for the problem. A lot of people are in that place tonight that just need the joy back. Don't make you a bad person. Don't even mean necessarily that you lost. But it could be tonight you just need to get your joy back. Hey, what did David say? David didn't say, return unto me my salvation. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You still got that joy? Is it still good tonight? Praise God. I mean, listen to me. Is it just as good as a dip of snuff? Praise God for some of you. Look at me, Granny. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's still good tonight. Praise God. I mean, listen to me. I don't know what's going to fall out to me. I don't know what's going to happen next week. They may back the truck up, take the furniture. Praise God. I hope they don't take my wife's TV. Amen. But they're liable to take everything we got. But I say unto you, praise God, if they do, it's going to be all right. Why? Because I'm saved. Amen. Praise God. I about passed out right there on that one. I'm preaching like I'm crazy. I can't help it. I'm telling you, I'm having a time. Look at verse 5. I got to give it to you. How am I going to get that joy back? Brother White, please don't tell him how I've acted. Look at this. Verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The first thing we're going to do, have to do, if we're going to get the joy back. I mean, the very first thing that we're going to have to, listen, make up our mind, write it down in the fly leaf of the Bible. Listen, we're going to have to make in big bold letters in a permanent marker. You need to write it down somewhere. If I'm going to get the joy, I've got to do what He says. Amen. Listen, a command's going to have to be followed. Hey, I want to say to you, you can dress it up. You can look it up. You can get a Strong's out. You can look up all the different definitions of these words right here. The bottom line is, whatsoever He saith unto you, you need to do it. Amen. You need to make up your mind. What this Bible says is not up for debate or discussion. What God says, it means what it says, and you need to get to doing it. Amen. There's a lot of you think there's a lot of play in those areas. You think there's more gray than there is black. But honey, listen to me. From what I can tell, it's all black except for what Jesus said. And what He said was red. You say, well, I live in the gray in the areas and in those white areas in between the verses. I'm going to tell you what old Mr. Miyagi said. Old Mr. Miyagi said, you get on the right or you get on the left, you get in the middle, you get squashed like grapes. You say, was he a great scholar? Well, I don't know about that. But he had a pretty good idea about what he's talking about. There's some of you right now, you say, well, I'm not going to get too far to the right because I'll be, the people think I'm a legalist. And if I get too far to the left, you know, well, people think I'm liberal. And, you know, I want to be balanced. And hey, praise God, I do too in a sense. But I don't want to walk down the middle of the road, praise God. You say, why? Because you'll get run over. What am I trying to tell you tonight? Are you willing to do what God says? You say, well, I don't like your preaching because you're not as polished as some of the people that we've had in here at Gospel Light. Well, I'm going to tell you what. The devil don't like it neither. So you make up your mind whose side you're going to be on. Praise God. That's good. Write that down. I'm just trying to tell you, command's got to be followed. Are you willing to do what God says? I mean, are you going to do what the songwriter, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey? I mean, are you willing to do what God said? I mean, praise God, that's the bottom line. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. I mean, if He tells you to do something, that Bible says it, are you willing to do it? Or are you going to have to go home, cipher on it, and think about it, and get some help and some advisement, and call the council and the committee together? No, friend. You go ahead and do that. While you're doing that, we're just going to go ahead and do what the Lord says. Amen. Are you listening to me? This stuff ain't rocket science, praise God. You say, well, your preaching's elementary. Well, praise God, if we'll get the elementary part, we can move on to algebra. And geometry and all that bunch of good stuff. I'm talking about, listen, if we'll get a hold of this, we're going to be all right around Gospel Light. Amen. A command has to be followed. I'm talking about getting the joy back. The reason you can't get the joy in your life because you think you know more than God does. You think you know more than the pastor knows. Praise God, it's getting quiet in here, amen. I hope Preacher Wyke is listening. I hope he's listening to what I'm saying. I hope he gets the CDs because I'm telling it right. I'm going to tell you something, ma'am, sir. Just like those Israelites, just like Moses' family didn't know more than Moses knew. Moses knew more than his family knew. He knew more than those people around him knew. He knew more than every one of those Israelites knew. You know why? Because God wanted him to know it, amen. He didn't tell everybody else. I say to you, my friend, while I'm here, I just knock it out of gear. God's give you a good man of God. If you want God's blessings on your life and on your church and on your family and see people saved in your family, praise God, do what the pastor says, amen. You say, why? Because he's not going to lead you wrong. I believe that tonight. And if he does, y'all going to throw him out. And you should. Amen? Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. A command had to be followed. Look at this now. I did good this morning. Y'all mad at me now. Watch this, verse 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone. I'm talking about getting a joy bag. After the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Let me say to you, not only did a command have to be followed, but some old common water pots had to be located. You see, he sent that outfit out looking for some regular old water pots. He didn't say go out there in the town and find some gold plated. He didn't say would you go out there and find some real nice silver, pieces to bring in here that we can put the water in because we don't want it to get tarnished and we gotta make sure it's not contaminated. And listen to me, my friend. Hey, understand something. God, hey, listen, said Jesus said go out there and find some old water pots. These water pots were not hard to find. These water pots were easily located. These water pots, my friend, were very convenient. These water pots were made of clay. These water pots were things that were needed for him to be able to do his miracle and work this great work and get the joy back on the festivities. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying to you tonight, my friend, God chooses to use people like you. He don't need, my friend, somebody out of a university to get the joy back to my friend to do a work for God. God just needs folks like you and me to do his work. Amen. Now, praise God, if you've been to university and you got a degree and, praise God, you got 4 or 5 business, that's good. Praise God. We need you to tithe. Amen. What am I saying to you tonight? Sometimes we get so caught up into thinking that we can't. God wants to use you. God wants to use us. God doesn't need, listen, great ability. God just needs us. He needs us to be available. to do what He wants us to do. And I thought about this, Brother Rupert here, he's my good friend, and we got to go eat some fish with him just a little while ago, and we didn't know we was going to do that. Praise God, we got to go eat fish and had a good time. But it's like a mechanic. The mechanic's got his toolbox pulled out there. He's getting ready to go to work. He's getting ready to do a job. And the worst thing in the world that can happen to a mechanic is for him to go over to his toolbox and look for some certain instrument, some certain tool that he needs, and not be able to find it. And find out somebody down the line has grabbed it on the way by and say, they said it, you was in the truck, you couldn't hear it. I'm going to use this, Tony. And you don't know where it's at. And somebody's got it. And my point is this right now. Listen, hey, you might be the smartest person in the room. You might be the wealthiest person in the room. But if you ain't ever around and you ain't willing to give, it don't matter what you think you know. It don't matter how much money you got. You ain't no help to God if you ain't around. Amen. Well, that makes people upset, makes people hurt people's feelings. Praise God. But I'm just telling it like it is. This church needs everybody that's a part of it. Every single member in the house tonight and every visitor that's thinking about joining, I can tell you right now, Gospel Light Baptist Church needs you. Young people tonight, listen to me. Hey, this church needs you. Hey, praise God. Did you realize God can bring revival and birth great and mighty and wonderful things in the church and do it through the youth department? If you'll let God use you and you get serious about serving God, there's no telling what God might do. You say, well, you know, I'm getting ready to go off to college, and I'm getting ready to do it. Well, that's good, well, and fine, son. You just go write yourself ahead and go to college if that's what God wants you to do. But don't you forget about serving God down at the house of God until you, while you're here, amen. There's some people that have all the ability and have all the talent. I've pastored some of them. They got all this talent, but they don't ever use it for God. Just don't ever really get in. And then they wonder why they ain't ever happy. They wonder why they don't have any joy. I'm going to tell you something tonight, and I found this to be true. Joy comes in serving others. You say, why is it that way? Because that's the way God wants it. You'll never be happy pushing your own agenda. You say, why? Because once you push that agenda and get it done, you're going to need another one. But as long as you serving others and finding joy and happiness in serving others, boy, you'll always be happy. Why? Because there's always plenty of people to serve. Praise God, I'm preaching good. It don't matter if nobody likes it. I'm going back to Stokesdale. I'm headed out here in a little bit. What am I trying to tell you? Where's the joy at? Where's your joy at, ma'am? Sir, where's your joy at? What's happened to you? What's taking place in your life? What's caused the wine to run out? Why ain't you got that joy anymore? Why don't you want to sing in the choir? Why are you getting ready to give up your Sunday school class? Why won't you go on visitation? Why'd you give up that bus route to them little kids? Do they not need somebody to come pick them up, honey? I'm telling you, you're going to find joy in serving. Amen. You see, there's joy. Hey, listen to me. God's looking for you tonight. It's not everybody else. Well, the preacher would do it. No, you need to get involved. Let me say to you thirdly tonight, hey, listen now. I'm trying to get somewhere. Look at verse 7 now. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Notice this tonight. Simple things. The containers had to be filled. These containers are almost empty. They only had just a little bit in them. Some of you tonight, you know what your problem? You're running low. You about to run on empty. You about to run out. I had a little old VW Rabbit diesel. And got that off a guy. And used to drive it down the Freightliner when I was working down there. And I was on the way out there real early one morning. And I had that thing in the wind, you know, I'm talking about that. I was letting it rip, son. I was, you know, going down the road right there. You know, I mean, I'm really getting it. It felt like we was doing about 100, and I think I was doing about 50. That thing wouldn't go very fast. And this gentleman came out at the end of Needmore Road, if y'all know where that's at, and he missed his stop. Bless his heart, older gentleman, missed his stop. and run out in the road, and it was just, I wouldn't know where I could go. I just plowed him. But that thing would get almost 60 miles to the gallon. Man, I'm telling you what's the truth. But I'm going to tell you something else. The gas handle on that thing didn't work neither. That thing was a good car, but it was, I mean, I'm going to tell you what, it left me sitting on the side of the road two or three times. You know what will happen to you if you ain't careful, if you don't fill up regular? I've learned this. I don't wait till I get down too far. Now, I ain't talking about a half, but I mean, I'm talking about when I get to about a quarter of a tank, I'm starting hunting somewhere to find me some gas. You say, why? Because I ain't going to get stuck on the side of the road. You listen to me? Now, some of you tonight, you know what we do? We just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait some more and wait around. The Bible says that they weren't full. These containers only had a few firkins apiece in them. And they went over there and they said, fill them up. By the way, did you notice who he told to fill them up? He didn't say, I'm going to bring them over here and I'll fill them up for you. He said, hey, listen, you go get them and make sure you fill them to the brim. You know who the responsibility falls on? To get full. He will fill you. The Bible talks about how that he will fill us, give us the Holy Spirit, much more of those that ask him. I'm not quoting it just exactly right. But you and I, listen to me, listen well. You and I, if we're going to get filled, he said fill it up with water. You know what the water is in the Bible? It's the Word of God. Amen. If you're going to get filled, and you're going to have joy, you're going to have to get full of that book. Amen. I mean, I know you know that, but I'm going to tell you, it's amazing how many church folk know it and ain't real interested in it. I'm just telling it right now. And could it be tonight that joy, the lack of joy in our lives can be directly traced to the fact that we are not getting filled with the Word of God? I'm just taking what he said, and I'm making some practical application to it. Where's our joy at? I'm going to tell you something. Your spirituality is directly connected to your relationship with that Bible.
Right.
If your relationship with that Bible is not what it needs to be, your joy will not be either. I'm going to put a plug in right here. I'm going to tell you, how many of you have got one of those new Rock of Ages Bibles? I saw some up here. A lot of people in here. Those are some wonderful Bibles, Brother Hildebrand. I mean, they are wonderful. And I mean, they've got some, I mean, they're really nice. Praise God, I thought somebody fell asleep back there. Eutychus, I guess. You know what? There ain't nothing like getting a new Bible. I was talking to old Brother McKinney one day. He brought some of them Bibles. He said, I want to give you and your Bible. That's the worst thing he could have done. I called him that week. I said, Brother, I want four of them new Bibles. I said, praise God, have them shipped to me. I'll pay you. And it wasn't just a little bit. And I don't think I'm telling this as a story. I believe this is true. I called him back about a month later. I said, how about sending me two or three, four more? I said, I like them that good. I said, I love them Bibles. I'll give them away. I'll put them up. I'll have them. I said, I love them. I love those Rock of Ages Bibles. Let me ask you something tonight. How's your relationship with your Bible? I know you know about Tweeter. And I know you know about ChapSnap. And I know you know about all that stuff. Ain't that right, Lindsay? Huh? I know you know about all that stuff, sir, ma'am. I know you know what's going on with Trump and Mr. Barr and they, some of you right now, your nerves is so tore up about how they got him into contempt of court and all that stuff. When's the last time you got the Bible? Amen. Praise God. I mean, there's some of you boys right now, y'all can't wait to get home, snap that headset on, praise God, and get out there and choo, 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 choo. Start killing people, amen, on Xbox. But what about the Bible? Amen. What about that word? I know you know about the Bloomberg and the Bloomfield and all that Blumenthal and the ticker tape and all that stuff that's going on with your stocks and your futures. But what about the Bible? Amen. And we wonder why the church is in the shape it's in, because we know more about what's going on in the tabloids than what we do with the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, our churches are turning into ghost towns, and young people ain't got no desire, don't care about it. And most of my friend adults don't care about it because they don't care about the book, amen. Praise God. I'm telling you what's the truth. Makes me want to kick something, amen. I'm talking about me too. I ain't just talking about you. It ought to bother us that we don't care about the Bible more than we do. Man, our spirit, boy, we need God, buddy. And then we need God in our church. We need the joy of God on the church. And the only way to do it is to get back in this book. Amen. Fall in love with it all over again. Hey, they were completely filled. They had to fill the pots. And these pots, may I say this before I move on, were completely and absolutely useless until they were filled up like they needed to be. You know what God wants you to do? This message is not going how I thought it was going to go. I thought we was going to be, praise God, doing cartwheels up here. But I'm just telling the truth. We're completely useless until we get filled up. Watch this now. Look at verse 8. And he said, I'm just about done. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. The contents of the pots had to be shared before the joy was restored. Did you get that? He said, I want you to take now. Jesus done touched it. Jesus has done blessed it. Jesus has already turned it into wine. He said, but now wait a minute. I didn't make that wine so y'all could take it and put it up. He said, I want you to share it. The greatest thing that you'll ever have, my friend, in your life, the fact that you're saved, you ought to share it. You ought to tell it. You ought to testify about it. Buddy, you ought to brag on Him. I know. My friend, sometimes it don't seem like, I'm telling you, it's always right and it's always in order. You may not be able to take a Romans road out, and you might not be able to always take somebody down the plan of salvation, but you can always tell them God's good. Boy, God's been better to me. I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. There's always an opportunity if you want to share it. Amen. You like to put stuff on your Facebook page and say share it. You like to put things on your little Instagram stuff and all that bunch of stuff. Share it. Let somebody else know about it. Tell somebody. Show them. When's the last time you put something on your Instagram, Snapchat, or one of these other outlets, one of these media programs? When's the last time you put on there, how this one lets you know I love Jesus? I just love Jesus. I ain't got it all figured out. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to take place. I don't know a lot about a lot of things, but I know one thing. I sure do love Jesus.
Amen.
What about you? Maybe. Do you realize how much joy you get by just telling somebody, hey, I'm glad I'm on the way to heaven. I'm just on the way to heaven. Praise God. I'm telling you what, some of us so stuffed shirt, so proper. We're so proper. We'd be ashamed to tell somebody, oh, well, I've got my doctorate degree in business. Well, God bless you. Well, that's great. Wonderful. I'm not trying to diminish that. Great. You might be a doctor. Praise God, I hope you are. But you ain't too big and too smart to tell somebody how much you love Jesus.
All right.
Because that's all that matters. Praise God. That's just good stuff right there. That's pretty good, ain't it? See, amen. Make your daddy proud, amen. I'm just telling it like it is. God wants you to share what's happened to you. God wants you to tell somebody. Boy, I'm going to tell you what God will do. Boy, I'm going to tell you, God put something in your heart. It'll be a blessing to you when you tell somebody what the Lord's done. I'm done. I'm closing. Watch this. I mean, I've been closing for 30 minutes. Watch it. And he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The wine, when the wine is restored, the joy, my friend, the celebration is restored. I'm telling you tonight, listen, we just need God to break in on us. To fill us one more time. To move in the midst. Not be business as usual. Not to be the formalities. I don't have a bit of problem. We come in, we sing, we do what. I don't have a bit of trouble with that. But we ought to be praying God break in on us at any time. God move in on us. God, if we don't get to get in Sunday school. God, if we don't get to have choir, God, if we don't get to get preaching, whatever takes place, God, you do something. Break it on us. Because lest he does, we might have a service, but we won't have much of a meeting. Are you listening? I'm telling you what, it don't matter what us preachers know. It doesn't matter what we know. If God don't come, it's all in vain, the songwriter said. Except the Spirit of the Holy One come down. We've gotten away from just waiting on God. You know, that man there at the pool of Bethesda was at the mercy of the stirring and the moving of the water. There's a message there. I don't have time to get into it. We don't have time to wait. We too busy to take time to sit and see what God's going to do. So we wait for the preacher and the song leader to come in and generate it. I'm not fussing. I just know what I'm talking about. And the things that we do are not wrong. But we expect these people to make it happen, when it's not their place to make it happen. They're just instruments like you and me. And Preacher Hildebrand, I've not been involved in this. You can close your Bibles. I'm done preaching. But they used to have those protracted meetings, didn't they? I know. I'm not even going to ask y'all if y'all know what a protracted meeting is, but I'm fixing to tell you. They'd have a protracted meeting, and what they would do is they'd just sort of carve out a couple of weeks. And then they'd just start meeting together. And you just start praying. And just start begging God to come in on the scene. And they might have some preaching. They might have some singing. There's really not any real formal outline to the service. But they were satisfied that they knew that God needed to come in. They needed God. They, some of us right now, there's no way. I'm talking about, hey, I'm guilty. That we would say, God, now, I don't know what's going to take place. Hey, I challenge you. Go back and read some of these meetings of years gone by. And look at what they did. You say, well, that's not that day. But I'm going to tell you, we need that Spirit. God ain't changed his mind about how God does. God's the same. I wonder, is there anybody interested in just waiting around to see if God's going to do anything? That man said, until that angel comes down and touches that water and moves in that water and moves on it and stirs in the midst. What about you tonight? I say to you, God's willing to stir the water. God's willing to move on the scene. Is there anybody that's willing to step in? I'm talking about, do you realize the direness of the situation and how bad you need the joy? I'm going to tell you something. All this stuff, all this superficial stuff, it's going to be gone one of these days. And that stuff you love so much, ma'am, sir, that stuff you love so much, it's just stuff. But I'm talking about the things that remain. Boy, we get God on the scene and impact some of these young people's lives, change some of their life, change the atmosphere. I'm telling you, that's the kind of stuff that stays with you, that carries you. You say, what are you saying? I'm just trying to get you to say we need God. We need the joy. One more time. Amen. You interested in it? Sis is coming. She's going to play. Let's stand to our feet tonight.